This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio! Now, what's the link between Freetown in Sierra Leone, Illinois in the United States, and the Isle of Man? Well, the link is that they're all featuring strongly in today's programme, and we'll find out exactly how after some music, the Glory and Praise Choir and Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. The Glory and Praise Choir and Karen Lafferty's setting of some words from chapter 6 of St. Matthew's Gospel, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Robert Burdett was born on the island and started life in Ballasalla, where his parents were doctors, and he might well have stayed here all his life, but he didn't. And this morning I'm pleased to welcome Robert and his wife Kathleen to tell us how the United States became Robert's home and why, for both Robert and Kathleen, this is so much more than just a holiday visit to the island. Robert, start the story for me. Tell me about family life in Ballasalla.
My parents were the doctors there. We had the waiting room and surgery in our house, lots of people in and out. But I left when I was 8 to go to boarding school. I went to a boarding school just outside Dublin, a place called Castle Park. I was there for 5 years, and then Blackpool. But I ended up in Middlesex University in London, studying English and French. As part of my program, I had to go to France. There was 3 universities in France at that time that had a program for foreigners in September. So September of 1977, I went to Grenoble, got the last place on a bus trip down to Nice and Monte Carlo, and that bus trip was full of Americans. I didn't like Americans at the time, but I found one rather attractive American on that bus trip.
And enter Kathleen into the story. So what did you think of him, Kathleen, when you first saw him?
I wasn't completely sure. He was passing around a bottle of wine, table wine, to the others on the bus. So yeah, it took a little bit to warm up.
Well, to make a very long story short, I fell head over heels in love. But during her junior year abroad, her 3rd year in university, Kathleen came to faith while she was in Paris and realized that basically there was no hope for me. I was not interested. And so she broke up with me, and that changed my life.
So up to this time, where was faith in your life? Was it part of your school life, but not necessarily your whole life?
It was a big part of my school life, but part of my personal story is my father died when I was 15. And I just couldn't reconcile God and my father dying when I was 15. So I gave up going to church. So I had a kind of wild 5 years. And then I fell in love and somebody else kind of walked out of my life.
And I come back to you, Kathleen. Obviously, your coming to faith was so strong that you had to be in a relationship with somebody who felt the same as you.
That's absolutely true. I had come to faith that year. I was in France at the beginning of the year and realized that Robert and I were going different directions and that wouldn't work. That was, faith was a core thing.
So what happened? How did you fix it then, Robert?
For some reason, Kathleen agreed to see me again in London. Her mother came over from America. She had a little time in London. She missed her flight when she came into London. And that was the night that I was waiting to hear the phone ring, but it was downstairs in my digs. She'd been trying for 2 hours when I eventually got to answer the phone because I thought she was going to call later. But she got in earlier because she missed her flight. Anyway, long story, I got really angry at God. And I realized at that point, you can't be angry at someone who doesn't exist. And if he exists, then I knew I needed to follow him. So I had a little booklet called Knowing God Personally in French that Kathleen gave me. So I knelt down beside my bed and I confessed, I translated the prayer from French to English so God would understand. But that really was the night. I mean, the terminology of being born again, that was the night I said I was born again.
But isn't it interesting how it's one person who turns our life around?
Yes, that's very true. That makes all the difference.
So, please tell me, you got back together again. It was as easy as that.
We got back together. Unfortunately, it was right around the time that I was studying for my finals at the end of my 3 years in university. And it was at the time also that my favorite aunt died. And my aunt Bobby had been a devout Christian. She named me executor of her will. So I went down to Exeter to clear up her things instead of studying for my exams. Found a little tract of the Living Bible, Gospel of John. And I like to tell the story that the Gospel of John and cigarettes got me through my final exams. I gave up one of those.
And it wasn't the Gospel of John.
Correct. And so after that, we corresponded. And then back in November of 78, I went over to America for the first time to see if the relationship was going to continue, and we realized it would.
So Kathleen is a very good reason why you're no longer living in Ballasalla.
I work for a ministry called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is the American equivalent of universities and colleges Christian Fellowship or the Christian Unions. So I help run the ministry in Indiana and Illinois. Spent time on campus helping student groups, and then I've been in a more of a managerial position, supervising staff, leading groups overseas. So we've been to Russia multiple times and after the Berlin Wall came down. And now our region of InterVarsity has a relationship with the Polish student movement. So we've been going there. And then InterVarsity has been developing these spiritual pilgrimages to various countries. And when I found out there was a Triskelion Way, a spiritual pilgrimage on the Isle of Man, I convinced my supervisor to let us try a spiritual pilgrimage to the Isle of Man.
And has it been a good time for you, Robert?
It has. I mean, I've seen things on the island I didn't know existed. Some of these keels. You know, I knew, obviously, Russian Abbey was in my hometown. That I loved that museum and what they've done with it. But, yeah, finding some different things from the Triskelion Way has been really rewarding and encouraging for our whole group.
Have you enjoyed your time, Kathleen?
Absolutely. And like Robert, I've seen things I haven't seen before. And it's been interesting to come to the island for a whole different reason, not just vacation, but to delve into the spiritual life of the island. It's been wonderful.
Would you see yourself bringing other groups perhaps in the future or encouraging others to explore it?
I am going to be talking to my supervisor about that, yes. There are a number of people who are interested in coming and this summer didn't work out for them. So I would like to try it again and bring a different group.
Robert and Kathleen and the group who travelled here with them stayed at our retreat house, Tide of A, in Peel. And the Triskelion Way that Robert mentioned is the island's first pilgrimage trail that covers 37 miles linking the historic centres of Russian Abbey, Peel Cathedral and Macleod, enjoying beautiful and varied views and absorbing heritage along the way, such as the keels or sites of early chapels that Robert also mentioned. And we certainly hope that we'll have the chance to share a spiritual pilgrimage on the island with other other groups from InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in Indiana and Illinois. We're hearing more and more evidence that young adults are looking for a deeper meaning to life, that they don't want to be a generation defined by social media and superficial values. Robert has many years' experience of working with students, and so I wondered if this was his experience too.
We're finding that this generation, what we call Gen Z, is much more open to pastoral care, to relationship with older people, to spirituality. We have one group at a university called Purdue University in Indiana. It's for what we call Greek students, which are students in fraternities and sororities. There are over 500 students in that group. And 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 20 or 30 or 40. So there is a developing and growing spiritual hunger in this generation. But it's also a needier generation. I think COVID, some of the mental health issues have fed into that. But if there's a group that can be there to meet their needs, they're open.
We see that on campuses. They're looking for something more. They know there is more, and their hearts are longing for that.
To be in your presence, to sit at your feet, where your love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire, O Lord, this is my desire. This is my desire, O Lord, this is my desire.
Musician and worship leader Noel Richards and To Be In Your Presence. And thank you to my guests, Robert and Kathleen Burdett from Illinois, a conversation recorded when they and a group of students were staying at Tidor Bay in Peel and making a spiritual pilgrimage, walking some sections of the Triskelion Way. And if you'd like to know more about the island's first pilgrimage trail, there's an excellent guidebook available from Tidor Bay, also known as Ballawattleworth House on Tynwald Road in Peel, and from bookshops around the island. And there's a very informative website too, pilgrimageisleofman.im, and Pilgrimage Isle of Man is all one word. And now, as they say, for something completely different, an opportunity to explore what it means to be twinned. In this case, it's the twinning of two churches. Now, this is something that we touched on very briefly some while ago when our own Louise Whiteleg, who's well known as our Christian Aid representative, when she went to Sierra Leone, to Freetown, she went for various reasons and she took an opportunity to talk to a certain bishop about the twinning arrangement that exists between the Methodist Church on the Isle of Man and the Methodist Church in Sierra Leone. Now, we've got another opportunity to explore a little more deeply because we're joined by that very bishop that Louise met when she was in Sierra Leone, Reverend Dr. Bishop Tom Demby. Bishop Tom, it's lovely to have you on the island. I'm also joined by Phil Crane and Paul Crane.
Good morning, Judith. Good to be with you.
Hello. Yeah, good to be here.
Now, Phil and Paul, you are members of the local twinning committee. It's got a wonderful Manx name.
Yes, Lanunica, which is Manx for twinning or twins.
So, Paul, how did this twinning arrangement begin?
Well, it came about because Philip and I and a number of others were involved in a committee, and we had seen applications to the Manx government from the Methodist Church of Sierra Leone and from the Catholic Church of Sierra Leone, and they were getting overseas funding. This is going back to 2010, something like that. And we picked up our ears and sort of, you know, look at this. This is amazing. The Methodist Church of Sierra Leone is seeking funding for a development project in the south of the country. We were just blown away by the idea that this was a Methodist church with three big development programs, 100 primary schools, 14 secondary schools, three hospitals. So we got in touch to see could we somehow share on a journey and learn from each other. So that's where it started. 2011, we had the twinning session out in Freetown. And yeah, we've been twinned now for 14 years.
I think in all these places, they offer an opportunity for us on the island to explore more of the global society and the global church, particularly in this instance the Methodist Church, but to hear from our sisters and brothers out there, to explore what the other is. Obviously, there are differences in culture and income, but we are all sisters and brothers in Christ, in particular, in this instance, to get an idea of what holds us together in unity.
Bishop Tom, now you have not, I know, been involved in the twinning process right from the beginning. You've been involved for how long now is it, Bishop Tom?
1 year.
In some ways, that's a very good thing when somebody new comes into an established program, because you can build on what there is and perhaps suggest ways in which it could be moved forward, that it could be made stronger.
It was a lot of excitement when I took over. Initially, it was a little bit disappointing. But I must say, we came together as a church and decided to put measures in place to correct the wrongs. So, for example, the facility that was built by the grant sent to us from people from the Island of Man, the facility was named HIV and AIDS Clinic. And in our culture, that didn't go down well with the people. There's this stigma attached to people with that kind of condition. So now we decided to add other services, dental clinic, antenatal services, so that it will not only be HIV and AIDS. We will provide several facilities and that will attract the people and it will benefit them.
Local cultural knowledge can make such a difference between the success and the failure of a project. I know you've only had a very, very short time on the island, but have you got images, thoughts that you will take back with you to your churches?
Yes, plenty of images, plenty of thoughts. Well, I must, through you, inform people of this island that I consider this island to be my spiritual home. To come here for the very first time and to have an encounter with God. You know, ever since I became a priest, I've been asking God for an encounter. I prayed, went on spiritual exercises, but to no avail. Just this morning, I heard the voice, a very loud voice. So for me, today is a turning point in my life. And I'm happy it happened here on the island. The next point is that I discovered that you people, the people of this island, you come together, you work together as a team to attend to the needs of people who are not that privileged or people who are suffering. For me, that is the church in action. It is not just enough for us to preach the word. in addition to preaching, we must do the physical things that will make a difference in the lives of people. And you people are good at that. I will start this food bank. I'll start it in Freetown and we'll call it Methodist in Action. That idea was gained from you people on this island.
Do you think the problem, and I'm addressing this question now to Paul and to Phil, do you think the problem is we do the things that we hope are the right things for our community and we don't necessarily think that they might be different or special?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, we think of ourselves as a degree of aging going on in the Methodist Church. So we think of ourselves as Methodists in retirement, so to have some outside eyes coming in saying, no, you're Methodists in Action. And that's confirmation that there are things that our Methodist Church is doing that are powerful and influential. Influential, yes.
But it's wonderful to think that there's going to be a food bank, Methodists in Action, back in Freetown, that was inspired by an idea that Bishop Tom takes from the island. Listening to Bishop Tom breathes a new life into the whole twinning arrangement, doesn't it, Phil?
Absolutely. And I think it's significant that Tom has just mentioned, you know, in the context of the food bank and seeing the Methodist Church in action. Sometimes the Methodist Church can be excellent at action, but he mentioned being spoken to by God in this place. And I think these are not just good works in a vacuum. You know, they're good works that arise out of our faith, you know, and we should maybe be more expectant of being spoken to directly by God.
We are so busy. I was delighted when I discovered that John and Charles Wesley had time for themselves. They had a program for personal hygiene, just for them to be fit for the job, okay? And I'm grateful that here on the island, Paul didn't give me much time to rest. I just discovered that we need a safe space. We need a quiet space. And because of the quiet space, I was able to have this encounter. When I go back home, I will have a conversation about quiet space with my colleagues for them to have quiet space once in a while for God to be experienced.
To reinforce this, to learn the deep and good things like making a space to hear God, that this was the place that you encountered God, that you had that experience that you were looking for. Maybe that says this twinning is important for all of us. That would be a wonderful takeaway from it, wouldn't it, Paul?
It would, yes.
And I look forward to hearing what the future does hold for the twinning between the Methodist Church here on the island and the Methodist Church in Sierra Leone.
Thank you, members of the island. Consider me to be your brother in the Lord, and I will continue to pray for you people. Thank you.
the joyful sound of the Seekers and Kumbaya. And my thanks to Reverend Dr. Bishop Tom Demby from Freetown, Sierra Leone, and cousins Paul and Phil Crane, members of the local twinning committee Lanunica, talking there about the twinning arrangement that exists between the Methodist churches in Sierra Leone and the Isle of Man. And now let's finish with a look at our notice board. And we're just about to start week two of the very popular beach missions in Peel and Port St. Mary. Daily sessions of fun, games and interactive Bible stories for all young people. And as you might imagine, Facebook is a great way to keep up to date with what's happening at both missions every day. Go to facebook.com and search either for Peel Beach Mission or Port St. Mary Beach Mission. And Port St. Mary Beach Mission have a very useful website too. It's psmbm.im. And St. Michael's Week finishes today. For one last time, garden teas will be served this afternoon at 3:30 in the garden of Croit Fox, next door to Kirkmackled, just £5 per person. And then, later this afternoon, to end this great week celebrating the island's patron saint, Mackled, there'll be a bilingual Manx and English service of evensong, celebrating 260 years of the prayer book in Manx. And that service in Kirkmackled is this afternoon at 4:30, with a warm welcome for all. Also today, afternoon tea will be served in the lovely setting of Old Kirkbraddon. That's this afternoon between 2:30 and 4 p.m. And Joy in Simplicity is the title of a simple evening service this evening in St. Mark's Parish Church. It's at 6:30 tonight and will be led by Reverend Ruth Walker, with music from the ensemble Briarfield Brass and regular organist John Elliott. Reverend Ruth says, "Come and enjoy your favourite hymns and be blessed. There's a warm welcome for all." Tomorrow, Monday, August 4th, it's Super Monday at Colby Methodist Church. Homemade soup with fresh bread, followed by tea and coffee, will be available from noon until 1:30. There's no charge, but donations would be most welcome. On now to St. Thomas's, just off the promenade, near the Gaiety Theatre here in Douglas, and their summer concert this Wednesday evening will be given by John Riley and friends. That's Wednesday evening at 7:45, with free admission, delicious homemade cakes afterwards, and a retiring collection if you'd like to donate. On Thursday evening, this week's concert in St. Catherine's Church in Port Erin will be given by the Glenfaber Chorale, conducted by Muriel Corkish. It starts at 7:30 with free admission and a retiring collection. Looking ahead now to next Sunday, August 10th, and Bigarrow Chapel, just outside Kirkmichael, invite you to an afternoon in the company of the Laxey Handbell Ringers under the direction of Reverend Joe Dudley. It's next Sunday the 10th and starts at 2:30 with free admission, refreshments and a retiring collection. And that's all that we have time for now. And I won't be back tonight at 9 o'clock with sundown because I'm having just one more night off. But you'll find the king of late night listening, Dave Moore, waiting for you at the virtual lounge door. And I know he'll be glad to welcome you in. And I'll be at your service again next Sunday morning at 9:30. And I'd love you to join me then if you can. So until we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning. The Nation Station.